5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad city, broke day, bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, out of bad day, bad lot, bad do, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Pearl of Palacio, riding across the world through the woods, and we're great. He loves a couple tokes of the green crack in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. But all my friends that come around flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown with the best of tons of tatter. My brain splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shake out. Ooh, woo woo. I think I might have caught something from Keith. Should do be. Yeah, yeah. Hey, what's kicking? I'm Farrell with Mafia tonight. I was watching the Knicks come back with a 20-5 run. And they closed to within, I think it got down to one. And they ended up losing the game, right? And they were down two, I think, with 1.3 left. They got the rebound. They called timeout. They inbounded to Randall. He took like a 50-foot shot and was air ball. And they didn't really have any option. They didn't have anybody. They couldn't get it to Grimes. The rookie Quentin Grimes, the only one that can hit a three, and Barrett. I mean, Barrett had a good game, but he couldn't hit threes. I mean, he hit like one or two. But all I know is he scored at the rim. Every time he went to the rim, he was getting amazing buckets. But I think when they ended up losing the game by two, the bottom line is Barrett had. 1-3, but he was 9-16 from the floor. All of his buckets came in the paint at the rim. 24 points, 5 boards, 4 dimes. Grimes had 4 threes. Toppin hit 3 threes. Randall hit a pair of threes. So Randall had 18. Toppin had 13. Grimes had 12. But Grimes was hitting threes. And all I know is, he was in the corner. He was definitely guarded. They knew that he was hitting threes, so they guarded him tight. They couldn't get him the ball. I don't even think they wanted to get him the ball. I think the plan was to get Barrett the ball. Barrett had the last shot when they were down two, and he missed the three to win the game. And then the rebound, the Cavs got the rebound, got fouled, and they went down. And I think Mobley, hit one of the free throws or something like that. All I know is the Knicks had a chance. They came roaring back. They had this huge run. They were hitting threes. They were scoring. Barrett and Grimes did all the damage. And then you get back all the way. and you're down one, whatever it is, and then down two, whatever it is, and you lose by two, and you can't get a clean shot off at the end of the game because there's not enough time, A, and B, because, I mean, the bottom line is Thibodeau doesn't know how to draw up a good play, I guess, on the sideline because that was the crappiest shot I've ever seen. And, you know, I got to tell you, it is amazing to me that, like, last year that they were a four seed, and this year they're, you know, two games under 500, 23 and 25, and, you know, kind of suck, right? And it's amazing to me that I guess he gets all these accolades that he's this great coach and he's this great defensive coach. And the reality is that they're not getting better. They're just not. They're not improving. They're going backwards. I mean, we welcome our radio affiliates to the show. Sirius XM, Mightier 1090, San Diego ESPN Radio, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline, Armed Forces. Good to have you with us on the bench on a Monday night. I'm talking about the Knicks. They lost to the Cavs tonight. And I just think Thibodeau, I'm starting to look. It's not like I don't think that he's a good guy for the job. It's not like I'm not trying to, you know, ride Tom Thibodeau out of New York. First of all, that's not going to happen to begin with. Second of all, I do think the guy can coach. My point is that I think he knows it. I mean, I think he's aware of it. I know I'm aware of it. He's got to be aware of it. They're just not getting better. I mean, this team is going backwards. They're not going upward. They've fallen on their face this year. They're under 500. They lose every game, basically. I mean, they, you know, if they win one game a week, it's a miracle. Right? You know, they play three or four games a week. They win one at best. You know, they just had a three-game losing streak. They ended that. They beat the Clippers on Sunday. Meanwhile, the Clippers are absolutely crippled. They have no PG. They got no Kawhi. And they have no chance, right? So the Knicks only beat teams that are crippled. The Knicks only beat teams that suck. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And then I'm watching, you know, I got to tell you, this guy Randall, too. I mean, he had a great game Sunday, whatever. But, the game before that, he had 4 points. And then tonight he has 18. And all he ever does is complain to the refs and mope. He mopes on the bench. He mopes when the game ends. He first got to the locker room. He's so uninterested. It's so amazing to me that this guy, this ball hog, got all the money, and then he turned into a punk.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever gotten rabies from trying to get a fresh rabbit's foot, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Ferrell on the Bench with Scott Ferrell.
So I watched, and we'll talk to Jerry Palm in a little bit from CBS, college basketball freak. And football, for that matter, but we'll get him on. I watched that Auburn-Kentucky game on Saturday, and I got to tell you, that team, they're number one now in the rankings. And now, I don't know what they're going to be like in the NCAA tournament, you know, in some location that isn't comfy, like home, you know what I mean? But I got to tell you, when they play down there in Alabama at Auburn, when they're playing there, with that whole scene they got going on down there, they mean business. I mean, that guy Kessler, he is gigantic. And, I mean, he is 7'1" from Noonan, Georgia. The guy means business. He's 7'1", 250. And, I mean, this guy is absolutely doing whatever he wants. He's, he's blocking shots. He's got you know, rebounds out the wazoo. He's scoring. He hit 8 of 10 field goals, and that's because they were, like, at least 7 of them were dunks. He hit 3 of 4 free throws. They got all kinds of talent on that team. I got to tell you, they play small, too. They got, like, 3 guards going, and they consider Kessler a forward. Meanwhile, he's 7-1. But they got, I mean, they got some kids that can flat out play. This kid Johnson, Katie Johnson, he's from Atlanta. He's a sophomore, but he can fill it up. He's scoring 13 a clip. He had 17 in that game on Saturday. And then they had the other forward, Smith, 6'10", 220 from outside of Atlanta as well. Fayetteville, he had this guy scoring 15 a clip. He had 14 in the game against Kentucky. And then they had their bench going. They had this kid, Wendell Green. He can flat out play too. Kid's a sophomore from Detroit. He averages 13 a clip. And, you know, he had 11 in the game. He hit a couple threes. The kid Johnson hit 3 threes. That crowd down there is insane. It's rowdy. I mean, it is lit. And I'm watching them, and I'm like, woo, you play that team, you got your hands full. Particularly when you play them down there, you're not winning there. They're not losing in that building. I mean, that place is on fire. And the crowd there is, I mean, they're getting naked. There's people literally with no clothes on at the game. There's dudes just stripping naked. I mean, it's crazy. And it is a hostile environment for, I mean, Kentucky had their problems. You know, I saw it again in this game. I saw this kid Wheeler, great player for Calipari. Sevier Wheeler, hell of a player, the junior from Houston. The kid can, I mean, flat out go 100 miles an hour, plays his ass off. He got lit up in a on a screen. At midcourt, no one called out screen on his team. No one gave him any love, and he got lit up, and he got basically knocked out. He was, like, unconscious. It's the second game I've seen him get knocked out, like, with a screen. His teammates don't call out screens, and he runs into these guys doing 100 miles an hour, and he gets jacked up, and he's a little dude. He's not big, right? He's 5'9". I mean, a guy's teeny. And he's just getting hammered by the Kessler guy, knocked him out. The 7'1", 250-pound guy ran into a – that's like running into a car. That's like running out to your mailbox and running into the street and getting hit by a car. And he got knocked out. And I think a lot of it had to do with either that crowd or, you know, his teammates not calling out screens. It's the second time I've seen him get, you know – leveled on a screen and not the same game, two different games. But I got to tell you, I think Kentucky's still a really good team. And the one kid who I like and I think has definitely got a future is Obi Toppin's brother, Jacob Toppin, 6'9", 200 pounds. The kid can flat out play. He had a 360 dunk in that game. He can go. He can fly. I mean, this guy's just like his brother. I think Obi Toppin has struggled in the pros for sure, but he's had moments. Like he had a good game tonight, and he hit, you know, 3 threes tonight. So that's better than anything I've seen him do in a while. And he was, you know, going to the 10. He had a nice little hook in the lane. But he struggled in the NBA, you know, whereas when he was in college, he was like the player of the year in college basketball when he was at Dayton. But he's struggled with the Knicks for sure. And he's gone through a myriad of you know, problems with minutes, right? Like, so Thibodeau will play him, then he won't play him, and he won't play him for games on end. Then he'll play him. He'll play very limited minutes. Tonight he got nice minutes. And that was because he was, you know, producing. But his little brother can fly, man. This kid is he's just like Obi. He's thinner, obviously, and, you know, younger, thinner, whatever, less weight he's got, but he got the hops. I mean, this kid jumps right out of the gym and can dunk it. I mean, all the dunks, he's got them all. Windmills, tomahawks, he's got it all going. And he's an exciting player, but they got all kinds of talent on that team, I think, you know, frankly. Calipari's got a good team, and they can play anybody. And they gave Auburn a game. They lost by 9, but we kind of got away from them in the second half. But I think Auburn's deserving of that ranking. I mean, they come at you, and they just keep coming at you, and they play defense, and they're fast, and they get up and down, and they shoot. And they know how to get to the 10, and they know how to get it to the big fella and let him dunk it. I mean, when you're that big, he just doesn't even have to jump. He just stands at the rim and dunks it, and that's that. I like watching them play. I mean, I watched that game, and I was kind of blown away by how good they looked. I was like, wow, that's an eye-opener team, right? Like, you watch them, you're like, wow, they got it. They're no joke. They can flat-out play. So we'll see what, you know, what the rankings lead to. Because I kind of think, you know, the new rankings came out and everything. I told you they're number one or whatever. But, you know, Gonzaga's 2, Arizona's 3. I think that Arizona team's sickening. They can blow out anybody. They play UCLA tomorrow. I bet they beat them. They're playing at Pauley. I don't care. I think UCLA is good, but you know, they're 13-2. I won't deny they're good, but I think Arizona can beat anybody, anywhere, anytime. And I'm willing to bet they win that game tomorrow. The way I see them put up points, I mean, that team's flat out scores. I mean, they're in the 90s every time they play. Baylor's 4th now. Kansas is 5th. They're playing right now as we speak against Texas Tech at Fog Allen. And, you know, I was watching. They just went to break. I don't even know what the score is. They were up 6 at the half. But Purdue 6th, Houston 7. They're a good team. They can light it up. UCLA is tied with them. Duke's 9th. Michigan State is 10th. Michigan State's got a big game tomorrow against Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. They just came off a nice win on the road. And we'll see if they can do it again tomorrow. I know they beat Wisconsin in Madtown on Friday. Now they play tomorrow in Champaign, and Illinois is laying 5.5 in that game. We'll talk to Jerry Palm of CBS next on the bench. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, Fro on the bench. Jerry Palm is our buddy from CBS. He's the college basketball guru of choice. Certainly football as well. But since we're in the rack season, we might as well go straight to the 10. Jerry, how you holding up, buddy? Happy New Year. Hope everything's going well.
Happy New Year to you, too. I'm doing all right.
So I was just talking about, you know, I watched Auburn play Kentucky on Saturday. And I was talking about you know, this team. And I got to tell you, I was really, obviously they played down at Auburn, and I think that had a lot to do with it, because that's a real great hostile environment for any team to go into to play at Auburn. That place is no joke. And that crowd is just lit. I mean, there's students taking their shirts off. There's people, you know, with no clothes on. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. But, you know, more importantly than that, the basketball is what I care about. And, you know, I think that they were really fast tempo. They played a great defense. I think they used that big Kessler perfectly. He's standing at the rim, just dunking passes, dunking lobs, 8 of 10 from the floor, swatting shots, getting tons of rebounds. altering shots left and right all over the floor. You know, the other team just struggling to get anything clean inside the paint. What do you think of Pearl's team now that they're number one? Do you think they're as good as advertised? And do you think they'll be good in a, you know, frankly, in a neutral site NCAA gym when they're playing on the road in some region?
Yeah, I think that kind of remains to be seen with this team. But there's no reason to think this team isn't for real, right? I mean, they've got players at every position that can hurt you. So, and you know, you talk about Kessler. I mean, you know, not a lot of teams have got, you know, guys in the post that can score and defend and rebound. I mean, sometimes you get guys out there that are just kind of stiff, right? They're big, but they're not athletic enough, and they're just not much other than big. But that's not that guy. I mean, Kessler is a guy that is a game changer in the post. And, you know, we've got in the Big Ten, you know, you and I are Big Ten guys, what, four or five guys like that in the Big Ten.
Right.
But you don't have a lot of them around the country. But Kessler's one of those guys that when you come up against a team that's got, you know, an athletic big, they can hold their own there. You know, that's an advantage for Auburn to go along with, you know, of course, the other great players on that team. So, yeah, I think this is a team, especially the way they defend, because – you know, really good defensive teams always have a shot because defense travels. So I like Auburn.
Yeah, they really get into it defensively, and they have all these guards. They play kind of – it's weird. They play like a small big game where they got all these little guards that are speedy and handsy, and then they know how to, you know, really press the transition and then throw it up to him in the air, and Kessler just throws it down. He has good hands for a big 7-1 galoof. You know what I mean? Like for a white boy, he really does know how to catch it and finish. There's been a lot of guys that have been big before that have stone hands, right? They can't,
right.
You know, I think one of them, for example, is like Mitchell Robinson of the Knicks. Like he's a big guy. He's an enormous body and has massive size and long arms like an airplane. But you throw him the ball from any weird speed or angle, and he, sure enough, it'll go right off his hands out of bounds. I mean, the guy misses, you know, 7 of every 10 passes. I mean, he's an effing disaster with his hands. Stone hands, there's nothing worse when you got a big that can't soft grab, you know, passes, whether it's a lob dunk or whether it's just a flat-out pass inside.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising a guy like that would even be in the NBA, you know, that, you know, just can't catch the ball like that.
I mean, honestly, now I got to ask you about the Indiana-Purdue game because, first of all, I bet on Purdue because I'm not stupid. And, you know, Indiana beat them, and it is what it is. But really, the point I'm trying to make is that Indiana comes off that win over Purdue, and this is where I think that They're just not for real. I mean, you come off that win,
Indiana, you
Michigan
mean?
At home, yeah, Indiana. I don't think they're for real because you come off a win, you beat Purdue in Bloomington, and then 4 days later you play Michigan in Bloomington, and you can't beat them. And not only can you not beat them,
kind of get killed, really. I mean, what
they
was
got
it,
beat by 20,
something like that. Yeah.
They got beat by 20. I mean, they by a team with one win over 500. I mean, come on, Michigan fell on their face this year.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan is really one of the biggest disappointments probably in all of college basketball this year. But that's, you know, that's the nature, I guess, really the nature of Indiana. You know, they win the Purdue game, which, you know, was really just like a disaster for, I mean, Trace Jackson Davis hardly plays, and Travion Williams gets 2 points in that game. But then, you know, like you said, Indiana comes out the next game, lays an egg, but that's why Indiana's a borderline tournament team at best, because they're not consistent, right? You don't know what you're going to get from Indiana from game to game. They're reasonably good defensive team, although they weren't against Michigan, but, you know, they just got too high after beating Purdue for what, the first time in 6 years, I guess, and just came out flat against Michigan.
Yeah, but don't you think, like, seriously, that, like, you know, go back to that game. They have two guys. You know it. I know it. They have two guys You talk about Jackson Davis, and they got the other kid, Thompson. They got two guys that are basically, you know, men against boys. I think those two are the best players on the team, without a doubt. And they're, I mean, one of them, the Davis kid's going to the NBA. The other one, I doubt it. But the other one's got grown man game against boys. And you have two players like that that are that good in the low block, and you still suck. How is that even possible that you have two grown men with NBA talent and you can't win consistently? I mean, it's so painful to me to watch that you have two guys with that kind of skill inside, like power moves, like to the rim, and you still can't win.
Yeah. No, it's the guards. I mean, the guards are not good enough. They're not consistent scorers. And, you know, if all you've got is the post, it's easier to defend the post because you can sag off the guard and you're not going to really, you're not really being threatened there. So if they're not going to get consistent play from the guards, especially scoring play from the guards, it's going to make it harder on the bigs and harder on Indiana to be consistent, at least in terms of, winning. But it's already better than the last 4 years, though. You know, it is not going to get, infinitely better overnight. I mean, I think Woodson did a nice job with this, he actually beat Purdue, which, you know, the last coach never did, and the previous coach didn't do at the end. You know, it's been 6 years since they beat Purdue, so you got to start somewhere.
Listen, I'm not gonna complain that they won, and in my opinion, fair enough. I agree with you. I think he's doing a nice job on him, but it's frustrating to me to watch him turn around and get whacked like that. But by Michigan,
well,
sucks. But I'll give you this. Yeah. I think that in my view, they beat Ohio State in Bloomington, and then they beat Purdue. But I guess I'm not going to give them any credit for beating Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's playing better now, beating Louisville or whatever over the weekend. But I don't think Indiana's got two wins to show for their season, as far as I'm concerned, of any consequence.
Well, it's all home cooking too. I mean,
all home cooking.
Home court hero. That Notre Dame win is one of what, two off their home floor. Nebraska being the other, and they're terrible. You know, so Indiana, if the next step for them, we know you can step up at home and beat some good teams at home. Now you got to take that act on the road, go into a hostile environment, and beat a tournament quality team away from home. Then that's really the next step for the development of Indiana.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And that takes some toughness. That takes some mental toughness to do that.
But you still think Purdue is good to go in terms of their ranking and in terms of what they're made of the rest of the way?
Purdue's going to go as far as their guards take them. I mean, Zach Edey and Travion Williams are pretty constant. I don't know what the heck happened to Travion at IU, but the 2 points that Travion scored were their only 2 points off the bench in that game. And obviously that's not going to work. Sasha Stefanovic shooting 1-for-7, they're not going to win too many games when that happens. So they're going to go as far as their guards take them. Their bigs are pretty consistent and reliable. But if they can't handle the ball, which they didn't do against Indiana, and they've shown problems against the press, they've got to go to Iowa, I think, Thursday. And Iowa's press gave them fits. If they can't handle the ball better and they aren't hitting their shots from the outside, Purdue could be an early exit. They don't defend well enough yet. They don't defend like your typical Purdue team does. But they're getting better. But if they're not playing, what you're used to seeing from Purdue by the time they get to March, then they might have some struggles getting out of the first weekend even.
Yeah, we'll come back with Jerry Palm. I want to ask him about Arizona State as they get ready to play USC tonight, and Bobby Hurley's not going to be coaching on the bench.
When it comes to getting trusted sports gaming strategies and info, you can ask your dumb friend Kevin.
Duh!
Or you can just listen to us. We recommend
us.
And we won't ask to borrow your car either.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
All right, we're talking to Jerry Palm of CBS on the Bench on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius 159, of course, Mighty Ear 1090 ESPN Radio in San Diego, and on Sports Map, Sports Byline, we're everywhere. So I have to ask you, Jerry, let's go back to Saturday night late. They're playing in Palo Alto. I know you know, at least you heard about what happened with Bobby Hurley.
Yep.
Like, so, I mean, honestly, listen, I don't care what anybody says. Frankly, listen, you cannot tell me that he wasn't right in the fact that Stanford shot 41 free throws in that game and Arizona State shot 9. Now, I don't know what game you've ever gone to and seen that before, but any game I go to and I see that, that's some home cooking. I mean, that is some milquetoast home cooking. And he had every right in the world to be getting teched up because he was lighting up those refs. And so was his players. Like, two players, I think, got teched up. And he got teched up and thrown out. And now he's not coaching tonight. But I think the refs really did a hatchet job on that game.
And I didn't see the game, so I can't really comment on that. But the Hurley lost his mind. Did he have, that player got ejected as well, right? And or suspended?
Yes.
One of the players is also suspended for tonight, right?
Yeah. So
it's not just Hurley.
Yeah. So Hurley, he was called for attack 30 seconds into the second half. Horn, who had 13, was called for his third less than 90 seconds later, and immediately picked up his fourth when he was called for a technical. So
right.
he had players getting technicals, and he got technicals.
He got tossed.
So, and he's not coaching tonight. But his players were giving the business to the refs too. So the conference came down on him and the players.
One player for sure got suspended, right?
Yeah,
I think I'm pretty sure one player got suspended for this game, and Hurley suspended. Well, you know, and Hurley got his first technical foul shortly into the second half. So he's already mad by then. And before it's ever 41-9 free throws, you know, sometimes bad teams just they're bad for a reason. You know, you're going to commit a lot of fouls because you're bad. And his team is bad. And he's probably frustrated that it's a bad team. You know, like I said, I can't comment on the officiating. I didn't watch any of that game. But you don't often see, you know, what is that, 30 free throw discrepancy between two teams, even if you're fouling to try and catch up late, which obviously they weren't doing. That's a big number, but that doesn't mean, you know, that it was your job as a referee is not to have the same number of free throws for each team, right? Your job is to call the fouls and whatever the fouls are. And, you know, the free throws are sometimes disparate because one team is just better than the other. But 30 is a lot.
Well, fair enough. I mean, and you know, somewhat obviously, I think you're right about they have a job to do, and it's not to worry about the number of fouls they call or how many free throws teams should do. But at some point, they have to know, and I believe they always know, when one team has 41 and the other one has 9, that they have not done a good job. That cannot be in a college basketball game or any game. Can you imagine a pro game if it was 41-9 in free throws, the hell that they would receive, the NBA refs? I mean, they would get lit on fire.
Well, and these college refs got lit on fire too, apparently, certainly by the Arizona State bench. So, you know,
it was terrible. I agree with you that I think that Arizona State's awful.
I didn't watch it. I'll take your word for it, though.
Do you think that Bobby Hurley is – do you think he's going to get fired soon at Arizona State?
I don't know. This is not a good year, that's for sure. It's really been a struggle for him there. They haven't really – I don't know. They haven't made the tournament yet, I don't think. Certainly not – they didn't make it last year. And, of course, 2020, you know, nobody made the tournament. So it's hard to say. And then they lose – you know, Remy Martin transferred to Kansas, you know, and that's their best player. They just, you know, this year's been a mess. You know, they won at Creighton and they won at Oregon. So they've got like two really nice wins, but the rest of the season's just been a mess. And it doesn't really look salvageable. And I'm guessing that part of his reaction during that Stanford game is part of just a full season of frustration.
Yeah, it probably is. I wonder because, you know, what do you think of the job that his brother's doing in stores?
Yeah, he's doing a great job. I mean, that's a pretty competitive team. They're the only team to beat Auburn this year. Weird overtime game, as I recall. I saw part of that game. I'm going to see UConn, actually, this weekend. They're here in Chicago. They're at DePaul, so I'm going to go see them. I like that team. They're a team that's Sweet 16 potential type of team. But the Big East is pretty competitive this year. Providence is having a good year. Villanova is Villanova. Marquette, Shaka's done a great job with Marquette, getting that team to really, you know, being very competitive. They've got some really nice wins this year. I like that league, and I think that UConn is probably top four team in that league. So, yeah, that's a pretty good team.
How about Shaka? They beat DePaul last Tuesday.
Yep.
This is 2 weeks ago. And then they beat Marquette they beat Seton Hall on Saturday. That was the 15th. Then last week, they beat Villanova in Philadelphia. And then they beat Xavier in Wisconsin yesterday. They've been on a nice tear lately.
They beat Illinois early in the season, too. Coburn was out of that game.
I mean, they've been winning, man. They beat DePaul. They beat Georgetown. Yeah. They beat Providence. I mean, they have – the last time they lost was double overtime on January 1st against Creighton by 5 or 6 points.
Yeah.
They have been kicking everyone's ass lately. Marquette's playing some clean ball.
Yeah, and I think they've got like five, maybe six losses or something, like 12-6 or 12-5. I mean, something like that. So they
14-6.
It took 14-6. Okay, so it took them a while to figure things out, but they beat Illinois early in the season too. So, you know, they've been fighting hard and they've been taking what Shaka teaches them. This is a better fit for Shaka than Texas was. Which I kind of wondered about that from the beginning, whether that was really a good, you know, place where he would fit in. Milwaukee, definitely a better fit for Shaka. And you're seeing it in this Marquette team. They're playing really well. And, you know, they're one of those teams that's going to mess something up for somebody.
So let me ask you about Michigan State. They're playing Illinois tomorrow in Champaign. They've been playing a lot of close games lately. But they won in Madison on Friday night against, I think, you know, a really good Wisconsin team. And they had lost previously the weekend before to Northwestern in East Lansing, which was a shocking loss at the Breslin. But they played all these close games. Yeah. They beat Minnesota at the Breslin by a bucket. The Nebraska game was, 10 points or something like that. I think that, you know, they won at Evanston, they beat them by six. Do you think that all of those close games are helping Izzo's Spartans, or that they are, you know, struggling to win games? Because they look good Friday when they beat, you know, Wisconsin. How do you think they'll do tomorrow in Champaign? They're 5.5-point dogs.
Yeah, it's
– what's that?
Well, I guess my question about that game is Kofi Coburn playing? Because he sat out the Maryland game with a concussion that he apparently suffered in the Purdue game on Monday. Now, I didn't see it. He never left the game. I mean, he fouled out eventually, but he never came out of the game for it. So they must have discovered it after the game. But he didn't play against Maryland. If Kofi Coburn's not playing, I like Michigan State. period, end of story. I mean, their guards, especially with Curbelo coming back, their guards are really good. But they, you know, they need Kofi Coburn to really be the best that Illinois can be. And I think they're going to struggle to beat good teams, and that they just lost to a bad team in Maryland, you know, on the road. But still, without Kofi Coburn, I don't see how they beat Michigan State. But if he's playing, they certainly have a chance. You know, Kofi Coburn is probably the best big in the Big Ten in a league full of pretty good bigs. And but they've got, you know, perimeter guys around him that really make that team dangerous.
I think he's just to me, he looks like a gigantic middle linebacker that just bowls over people. I'm not sure how much. I don't like his game that much.
Well,
I think he's just a monster. I don't think he's that. Yeah. I think he's sloppy, though. I don't think he's a great player. In fact, I question if he'll be an NBA player of any consequence, because I don't think he has any kind of game. I just think he steps on people and dunks in their face, and he's violent and physical. Yeah. But there's a lot of guys in the NBA that aren't going to be afraid of him. Let me ask you about Arizona. They're 16-1, and they play at UCLA tomorrow night at Pauley Pavilion. And they're both ranked. They're both good. But I think Arizona's better than UCLA.
Well, I kind of want to see, because we don't know that much about Arizona. They haven't really played better teams. They lost at Tennessee, and that's a tough place to play. And it's a, you know, three time zone road trip for them. So, you know, that's a tough game. And they won at Illinois, and that's their win. That's really the win that on Arizona's resume is Illinois. And that's really all we know about them. You know, we haven't seen them play UCLA. We haven't seen them play USC, and I don't know how good they are either. That league is really, you know, once you get past the top three, there's a pretty sizable drop off to, I guess, Oregon and Stanford, who are borderline tournament teams at this point, and then nobody else. So I guess I kind of want to see what Arizona – I don't know what Arizona is yet. But this is probably their toughest game to this point at UCLA. And really the top three in the Pac-12 haven't been – probably fully challenged UCLA more than the others. USC has their best win, San Diego State. I kind of want to see what these three teams can do once they get in their league. But their league, once you get past those three teams, is not providing too many challenges. But Arizona at UCLA is a big game for both teams. And for me, I just kind of want to see what Arizona is. But this, for me, if they can win it, that's their best win of the year so far.
Yeah, no doubt. Tomorrow we'll find out how that shakes out. Tonight, Kansas is up 10 on Texas Tech. I actually think they're both really good teams. I think Kansas looks like a little bit like Final Four material to me. Like, they can beat anybody anywhere, and they're brutal to play at Fog Allen, that's for sure. And especially with the home cooking that they get at Fog Allen. I got to tell you, they get more calls than Duke gets at home. Jerry, great stuff as always. Always love having you on the bench. I'm glad you're doing well, buddy. We'll catch up again real soon.
All right, thanks. Take care.
All right, there is Jerry Palm from CBS talking college rack with us tonight. Kansas is up 10 right now. That game looks like it's over. It's Pharrell on the bench.
You may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever said you've got 20 that says Moe's going to take one in the eye from Curly, you're probably our kind of listener. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
That's the problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, Pharrell with you. So I'm on the Suns and Jazz now, 105-97 with 5.5 minutes to go in Phoenix. And Suns are up. No Ayton in the lineup tonight. They're playing this one in the Valley. So anyway, when we come back, I kind of want to go back a little bit and reflect on that amazing weekend of football. Not that I am going to enjoy reliving it by any stretch, but I thought that, you know, the conversation that was interesting today on Coast to Coast was about whether or not, you know, Carver High was like ranking the Bills' all-time failures, and he had wide right number one, and number two would be the 13 seconds. And I argued with him that guys miss field goals all the time, even in Super Bowls and playoff games and you name it. I said, but I don't think you ever live down that 13 seconds. Like, I've already gotten past wide right like a long time ago. No one cares about that anymore. You know, you lose four straight Super Bowls. That's more flagrant to me than missing a field goal. But I think that 13 seconds against the Chiefs has to go down as the just the absolute worst moment in their franchise history. So think about that, Mafia, and we'll come back and talk about that on the bench.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.